Please take out your Bibles with me and turn them to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And we're continuing a series called Who is Jesus? Where we're looking through the Gospel of Matthew and trying to figure out who this Jesus is that we all claim to know and love. And Matthew gives us a great and beautiful picture of the person of Jesus, his person and his work. And today we're going to be looking at Matthew 13, verses 24 through 33. And what we're going to find is that Jesus announces a kingdom. If there's any one main major theme that comes from Jesus' lips more than any other theme, it's the theme of the kingdom of God, or in Matthew, the kingdom of heaven. Jesus was all about the kingdom. So if we're going to know who Jesus is, we need to know a little bit about what Jesus proclaimed and about what Jesus announced. His life and his ministry were poured into this subject called the kingdom of God. So if we want to know him, we must know about this kingdom that he announces. So when you found Matthew 13, follow along with me as I begin reading in verse 24. Jesus says, "He put another parable before them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?" He said to them, "An enemy has done this." So the servant said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he said, "No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, 'Gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." He told them another parable, "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, in whose name we are gathered right now. We thank you for the announcement of the kingdom that he gives in this passage. We thank you for the kingdom of God and our place in it. And Father, we pray that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts and minds to understand your word this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever been interrupted by an announcement about something? You know, not too long ago, Jackson's kind of known for the weather that we sometimes get. And I remember when I was a student at Union, we had tornadoes come through then, and we still have tornadoes come through now, aren't we? Not too long ago, a few weeks ago, we had a batch of some storms and tornadoes come through. And I remember I was sitting there watching the television that afternoon, and I was watching a show. And then all of a sudden, my show went off, and this weatherman comes on the screen and says, "We interrupt your previously scheduled television show to bring you news of some bad weather." And he begins telling us about the tornado that's coming through and all these kinds of things. And in many ways, when we turn to Matthew chapter 13, what we find is that Jesus is interrupting everything that's going on with a message that is much more important than anything that was going on. And he brings this announcement to people that brings them news about something that catches them a little bit off guard, that isn't exactly what they were expecting to hear, and yet is an important announcement nonetheless. And what we find is that Jesus announces the kingdom of God in this passage in 3 different ways that catches people off guard. So look there with me, for instance, in verse 24. In verses 24 through 30, Jesus gives a parable about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And he gives this agricultural parable about the kingdom of heaven being compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. And what we learn from this particular parable is, point number one, we learn about obstacles to the kingdom. And this was a little bit unusual for Jesus' hearers. What Jesus' hearers were wanting in the kingdom of God is for the Messiah to come in, for him to bring in the kingdom of God all at once, for him to wipe away the enemy, for there not to be any obstacles whatsoever in their path. But what Jesus tells them in this parable and in others is that's not exactly how the kingdom of God is going to come in. Notice what he says about obstacles to the kingdom in verse 24. He says, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field." So this man goes out, he's got good seed, he's sowing it in the field, you know, he doesn't have bad seed that's been sitting there for years is not going to grow. This is good seed that, given all the right conditions, it's going to grow, it's going to produce. But notice, there's an obstacle here. Look at verse 25. But while his men were sleeping, and this doesn't mean they were sleeping on the job. They could have just been resting. It could have been at night when they weren't out in the fields. While they were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. In other words, Jesus is communicating here that you can have the good seed and you can do the good sowing and you can be a good farmer, but the fact of the matter is there is an obstacle, there is an enemy to God's kingdom, and that enemy has seed too. And so notice, the enemy goes out, he sows weeds among the wheat, and then goes away. These men never even knew that the enemy was there. Verse 26, so when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. Now, the word for weeds here is the word for a certain kind of weed called darnel. And this wheat that would pop up, this darnel would pop up, and in the beginning stages of the growth of the wheat and of the growth of the darnel, they look identical. They look identical. And so they begin to grow, and you never know the difference between them until the head of wheat forms. And when the fruit is produced, the fruit looks different. And so you can then tell between the wheat and the weed. So all the time this is happening, it's growing, they don't even realize that the enemy had been there and had planted these weeds among the wheat. And then it says in verse 27, the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? And the master said to them, an enemy has done this. So the servant said to him, then do you want us to go and gather up the weeds? Now, when I was growing up, one of the things me and my sisters hated to do the most was go weed the flower bed. And as a parent, you have the opportunity to decide who gets what chores. And guess what? The kids got that particular chore. My mom was a wise lady. And so she would have us go and pull up the weeds. And so these servants are saying, Lord, there are weeds amongst the wheat. Do you want us to go and pull them up? I mean, they were eager servants. We as kids didn't want to have anything to do with it, but they were eager. And notice what the Lord says in verse 29. The master says, no, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. There is a day, the master says, when not you, but when I will separate the wheat from the tares, the wheat from the weeds. Let both grow together until the harvest time. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned. But gather the wheat into my barn. There's a destination there where the weeds will be gathered, they will be burned, and the wheat will be gathered into the Lord's barn. And so what Jesus is trying to communicate to his hearers is, look, guys, you're going to follow me, and you want the kingdom. You know, we talked about last week how the crowds were following Jesus, and as long as he was feeding the 5,000, as long as he was healing the lame and the sick, everyone wanted to be around Jesus. But then Jesus turns around and tells them, look, if you're going to follow me, you must take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow after me in that way. And the same way here, he's warning the crowds, he's warning his disciples, if you truly want to be my disciple, you're going to have to realize that the kingdom that I'm giving to you is one in which, as you work for it, as you seek to advance it, you will experience obstacles. The enemy will be working against you. There will be tares and weeds amongst you, and you must continue to do the work of the Lord nonetheless. And if you're not willing to work even when there are obstacles, then the Lord would say, don't even bother and to follow me. And so he's calling them to follow him. He's announcing this kingdom, but he's putting a certain qualification out there on this kingdom as he announces it. That says, look, there are obstacles to this kingdom. I got a card on my front door the other day that somebody had given out about a business that comes out and will spray your yard for weeds. How many of you right now have Bermuda grass in your yard, and your yard is green? Any of you have green in your yard? That's a trick question, because Bermuda is supposed to be dormant right now. So if you have green in your yard like me, it means that it's not your Bermuda that's green, it is the weeds that are green. And so I've got green in my yard, and so I went out the other day to Lowe's, and I talked to the guy that worked there, and I said, I've got a green yard that's not supposed to be green. My Bermuda is dormant, and I've got weeds that are sprouting up. What do I need to do? He said, get some Roundup and spray all over your yard. I said, are you sure? And he said, yeah. And I was afraid it was going to kill the grass. But sure enough, I took the Roundup out there, and as long as it's dormant, you spray that Roundup on there, and it will kill the weeds that are alive. And I was seeking to separate the weeds from the grass. Why? Because I want that grass to grow. And in the same way, these servants of the master are coming to him saying, Lord, do you want us to get the Roundup? Do you want us to get the weed killer? Do you want us to go out there and gather the weeds and separate them? And the Lord says, no. You're going to have to endure a yard right now with weeds in it, because if I were to pour out judgment everywhere judgment is needed, the whole yard would be destroyed, because all of us at some level are a weed. And so the Lord delays his judgment. But what the delay of judgment means, the delay of judgment coming at the harvest, what the delay of judgment means is that we must endure an imperfect world, a kingdom where there are wheat and tares, and we must endure obstacles to that kingdom. And so Jesus announces a kingdom even to us today. But he announces it with a warning, with a qualification, as if to say, come and follow me, but recognize on the front end that counting the cost means you will experience obstacles. Now, one of the warnings, I think, that comes in this passage is that Jesus is saying, look, guys, make sure you're the right kind of plant here. Make sure you're the wheat. Make sure you're not the weed. They look alike. Make sure you are the right. And then notice the second thing that we see about Jesus' announcement to the kingdom are not only the obstacles to the kingdom, but we see him talk about the consummation of the kingdom. The consummation of the kingdom. Now, this is what all first century Jews were wanting to see happen. But they wanted to see it all come in immediately. They wanted to see Jesus consummate his kingdom. In other words, set it up and finalize it and destroy all of his enemies. And what the Lord says is that day is coming. But it's not here yet. And right now, what you need to be looking at is making sure you're serving the king, making sure you're advancing the kingdom, but be assured that the day of consummation will come. So even in this parable that we've just read, at the end of it, the Lord says, you know what? The wheat and the tares, the wheat and the weeds will not always grow together. There will be a day of judgment coming. It reminds me of the time when Jesus is walking down the road with his disciples, and some people had rejected Jesus, and the sons of thunder, some of his disciples said, Lord, do you want us, can you just call down from heaven, fire right now, and destroy your enemies, bring in the consummation of the kingdom? And what he says is, no, that's not the way it's going to work. I'm going to go through the cross. And it's through the cross and the obstacle of the cross that the consummation will come. But just because the consummation hasn't come yet, just because all the enemies haven't been destroyed yet, just because there are still obstacles now, rest assured that one day, the kingdom that I have begun, the kingdom that's struggling to advance, will be consummated. At the end of this parable, he says there will be a day of harvest. Back in verse 30, let both grow together until. There's an until. There's a time when they will no longer grow together. Let both grow together until harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first, bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. There's a day of judgment coming. There's a day of separation coming. There's a day of resolution where everything that's unresolved will be resolved. There's a day of rest where there is toil and strife. There will be rest. There is a day of consummation where this kingdom that has been begun, that has been planned, that is seeking to advance, will be consummated. And he tells us this as well in the following two parables in verses 31 through 33. Notice there with me what he says. He says, Jesus put another parable before them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. The kingdom of heaven, in other words, starts small, grows gradually, and ends big. And what Jesus is saying is, don't despise the day of small beginnings. Don't despise the day when there are obstacles. Realize that this kingdom is going to grow. And though there is toil now, there will be a consummation. There will be an end. The birds of the air, the nations, will come and rest in its branches. And then in verse 33, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour until it was all leavened. The kingdom starts small, grows gradually, but the kingdom, Jesus says, ends big. There is a big consummation to everything that God has started, and that is what we look forward to. That is what we're looking to. That is what our hope is in. In the book of Titus, Paul writes a letter to a young man named Titus and talks about the blessed hope, namely, the appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why would Paul speak of the appearing of Jesus Christ at his second coming as our blessed hope? Well, the blessed hope is that everything Jesus has begun in our midst will be finished and finalized and consummated at the second coming of Jesus Christ, when all the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ. Friend, the kingdom that you and I serve now, that we struggle in and that we toil in, will be completed, will be consummated. There's a day of reward coming, and Jesus calls our attention to that. There's a day of consummation coming. You know, weddings are a lot like this. I mentioned that Melissa is a planner. Well, you better bet that when we were engaged, she was planning that wedding. I mean, she had brides magazines and internet sites that she would go to, and she planned an incredible wedding that ended up being very meaningful, and we watch it every year at our anniversary. We watch the DVD of it. And so she planned and planned, and we were engaged for about a year. And the whole time she was planning. And, you know, honestly, it seemed like that year was never going to end. I mean, I'd already dated this woman for years. I now want to marry her, but there is this in-between time where I've already made a promise and a commitment of a covenant relationship with this person that I want to marry. I've already done that, and yet the consummation is still a year away. And there's planning, and there's activity, and there's organization, and there's things to be done. But the day came, finally, on May 28, 2005, when we said our vows, when we got married, and everything that had begun as a plan was now consummated in that glorious ceremony of marriage. And there's no mistaking why. The Scriptures often use the analogy of a wedding and of a marriage to describe what the believer experiences in the kingdom of God. The Bible says that one day there will be a marriage celebration, that the bridegroom will come back for his bride, that the commitment has already been made, the engagement has been made, the rings of engagement have been given, the commitment is there, but we struggle and we plan and we organize and we advance until the consummation, when that wedding ceremony will occur and we will dwell with him forever, and when the marriage supper of the Lamb will be this great celebration and consummation of everything that has been planned and promised and worked for. And that's exactly what Jesus is calling these believers to. He says, look, guys, yes, count the cost, but I don't want to turn you away, because the reward for the cost, the consummation of the kingdom, will be well worth the cost. There's a consummation coming. Look to that and bank on that and hope in that. So that's the second thing we see about Christ's announcement of the kingdom. And then the third major thing that we see in these three parables about Christ's announcement of the kingdom has to do with the growth of the kingdom. The growth of the kingdom. Each of these three parables requires from the believer, from the disciple of Jesus, patience. Patience. Did you know that things take a long time to grow sometimes? Most things take a long time to grow. And what Jesus is telling these disciples in all these three parables, as the wheat grows, as the leaven works its way gradually through the lump of dough, as the mustard seed, that is one of the smallest seeds that any of the Israelites would have planted in their personal gardens, as it grows, this growth requires patience. And what he says is, look, the kingdom of God is not like a mushroom. You know, you can go to bed one night, wake up the next morning, and a mushroom will be there that was not there the night before. It's amazing. Some things grow quickly. What Jesus is saying is, look, the kingdom of God is not like that. The kingdom of God is like a beautiful plant, a mustard seed that starts out very small, but it grows gradually and ends big. With that second part, that gradual growth part, that's the part that we're in now. And that gradual growth part can often be the frustrating part of the kingdom of God and of our work in it. But what Jesus is saying is, look, don't be frustrated by this. Realize that the kingdom of God is going to grow. It is going to spread. The two parables that we see this the most in are in verses 31 through 33. In verse 31, he again talks about the kingdom of heaven being like a grain of mustard seed. And it says that he sowed it in his field. Verse 32, it's the smallest of all the seeds. Now, technically, it's not the smallest seed on earth, but what he's saying is, you Israelite farmers, you Jewish farmers who are listening to me, this is one of the smallest seeds that you use in your gardens. You take the small seed, and yet, these mustard seeds can grow into a plant that's up to 12 feet tall. And so you have this small seed that grows into this gigantic plant. However, all the time in between, there's this period of gradual growth, this period of struggle, this period of pruning, and all these things go on that go into the growth that require patience and that require faith. And then in verse 33, he gives another similar parable about the growth of the kingdom. Because the kingdom of heaven is like leaven or yeast that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour until it was all leavened. What Jesus wants us to see is that the way the kingdom works is that it grows gradually. You know, my mom used to make sourdough bread. How many of you like sourdough bread? I love that stuff, and it's interesting the way that she used to make it. She would get a portion of bread from a friend in a Ziploc baggie. All right, she would take it home, and there would just be this dough sitting on our counter in a Ziploc baggie, and it would grow. And as it grew, she would put some more in another Ziploc bag, and she'd mix some more flour in there with it. And it just kept growing and growing, and then we had all this bread from one little portion of dough that we had first. And the point is, as she was adding flour and sealing it up and leaving it on our countertop, that yeast that was in the previous portion of bread was now working its way through all this new flour and through all this new dough and making its way and growing gradually. But you know, you can't have sourdough bread overnight. You can only have sourdough bread if you're willing to be patient enough to let it grow. And that's what Jesus is saying about the kingdom. You can't have the kingdom of God all overnight. The kingdom of God goes through this gradual growth process. And if you're not committed to Jesus, then you're not going to be patient enough to grow with it and to watch it grow by working and toiling as it grows gradually. That's what the kingdom of God does, Jesus is saying. It works from the inside out and grows gradually in that way. One author writes and explains it this way. For Jesus, it was not essential to stress the greatness of the future kingdom. Few would dispute that. Everybody knew the kingdom was going to be great. It was more important for him to find a metaphor emphasizing the kingdom's tiny beginning. The kingdom of God starts small. That's what they needed to hear. They weren't going to have reigning with Jesus until they had had enduring. Paul says it this way in 1 Timothy. He says, if we endure with him, then we will also reign with him. You don't have the reigning with him unless you first have the enduring with him. And the growth process hurts. Remember when I was a kid, you know, I had these growth plates. I remember falling on my, I used to fall a lot. I was never very coordinated as I was growing up. I would fall on my knees and have this sharp pain. What's the deal there? It was these growth plates that were stretching and growing, and it's painful. And the kingdom of God's growth is like that. It's painful, and yet it spreads and it grows. You know, many of you have probably heard the name Steve Jobs. He was the founder of Apple, and he obviously has had a great business. He passed away this past year. And at the beginning of Steve Jobs' career, he had this idea to develop Apple computers. And he goes to a friend, and he tries to get his friend to come and be a business partner with him. And so he explains everything that he wants to do and so forth. And his friend says, at the end of the day, you know, I just don't think that's ever going to work out. So I don't want any part of that. So his friend goes away, does his own thing, you know, on the side. And then Steve Jobs builds the biggest computer company now in the world. This guy missed out. Why? Because he thought, I don't want any part of this day of small beginnings. I don't want any part of this little startup company. I want to be a part of the mega company right now. And what the kingdom of God is, Jesus is saying, is look, it's going to be mega. It's going to be the biggest thing in the universe. But don't despise the fact that it's small now. It will get big. It will be all in all. The kingdom of God will replace every other worldly kingdom in this world. But don't despise it just because it's starting small. Don't despise it just because we have to wait for it. Don't despise it because it takes toil and because it takes labor. And Johnny Williams has a garden at his house, and he, the other day, gave our children a little startup packet for tomato plants. I've shared with you a little bit about my experience with tomato plants before. But he gave us some startup things. There's these little pods of dirt and fertilizer, and you put some water on it, and we got our kids involved, and we poured water on it, and they puffed up real big, and Dennis had one of these too. And we put little seeds in there and put a little lid on it. It has a little greenhouse effect, and the seeds sprout. Well, we told the kids, you know, we're going to put these seeds in here. We're going to water them, and they're going to grow. This is going to be a tomato plant. You guys know tomatoes, right? The red things that we eat and so forth. Yeah. So we did that. We watered it. We put the seeds in. We left it overnight. The next day, they come running in there expecting to see some tomatoes. Right? Your kids do the same thing. They come in there waiting to see those red things hanging from the limbs. And we said, God, no, let me explain this to you. This is going to take some time. It'll be a few days before that head even pops out of the dirt. It'll be many more days after that before it becomes a mature stalk. It'll be many more days after that before you see the flowers begin to bloom on it. And when you see the flowers begin to bloom on it, then you know the tomatoes are coming. But it'll be a few more days after that before the tomatoes grow on it. And it'll be a few more days after that before they turn red because they're green first. And then it'll be a few more days before we can pick them and eat them. Of course, for a child, it doesn't make much sense. But the point is, and the reason I think Jesus uses so many agricultural metaphors in the Scripture to describe the kingdom is that there's such an analogy between the two. Many of us, we pour water on the kingdom. We put the lid on our starter kit, and we wake up the next morning and we expect the kingdom of God to be fully incorporated into our lives. We see, we want to wake up the next morning and see all of our problems solved. We want to wake up the next morning and see all of our enemies defeated. We want to wake up this next morning and see our day go better than it's ever gone before. And what Jesus says is it might not be like that. It might take gradual growth. It might take toil. It might take some extra gardening. It might take some pulling up of weeds and tending to and nourishing that plant. That's what the kingdom of God is like. But folks, if you despise the day of small beginnings, if you despise the day of the starter kit, then the fact is you won't be able to inherit and be experiencing the day of its consummation. So Jesus is calling all people, come, be a part of this kingdom, but be a part of it while it's small, or else you'll never get to be part of it when it's big. That's the kingdom that Jesus Christ announces. That's the kingdom that he calls us to. We are heirs of a great kingdom. I love what Paul says in Romans chapter 16. Jesus uses this analogy, how this enemy comes in and works against the kingdom. Paul, in Romans chapter 16, as he's concluding this great, magnificent letter on theology, he writes in chapter 16 and he closes by saying, the Lord Jesus Christ, church in Rome, will soon crush Satan under your feet. Don't give up. Don't give up. And I think that what Jesus is teaching us here and what the Scriptures are calling for us to do today is they're interrupting our previously scheduled TV program to make an important announcement that we are part of a kingdom that will end big, but we're part of a kingdom that will grow gradually. Let's not despise the day of the small beginnings. Let's not despise these days before the second coming of Christ where we're still having to work for the kingdom's growth. Let's work till Jesus comes. And then, Father, we thank you for the kingdom that Jesus announced. And we thank you that all may enter into this kingdom and become eternal citizens of it by simply putting their faith in you and repenting of their sins. And yet, Father, this kingdom that even now we are already citizens of, this kingdom is not complete yet. And there is much work to be done. There is much growth to be seen. There is much toil to be done. And Father, may we not retreat from the labor and the growth phase and so miss out on its consummation. But may we be faithful in the day of small things and small beginnings and kingdom growth. May we be faithful now. May we endure with you now so that in the end, when your kingdom comes, and it will, in all of its fullness, we will be able to experience that and reign with you in ways that far, far outshine the toil and labor that we put into it now. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name.